Today on Real Radio.
Why are you a Christian? You must be able to argue for someone asking you, why are you a Christian? You've got to be able to tell them why.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a series taken from the part of chapter 15 where Paul not only defends the resurrection, but tells us why the resurrection must be accepted as absolute fact. Now, anyone who says he's a believer but doesn't believe and really adhere to and proclaim this historic event, well, quite simply put, isn't really a true believer. It's one of the key tenets of our faith, and if we don't accept it, well, we're wasting our time and energy. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a series called What Are You Talking About?
The earlier chapters of this book, he had been exposing to them, reminding them of their great sin and of their great division and carnality. And then he began to speak to them about the gifts of God to be at use in the body of Christ, always anchored and centered around the love of God, which is that famous chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. And then chapter 14, the application of the gifts, that when the gifts are at work in a church body, a church revival will be not only happening but sustained as each believer walks in their newness of life. And then in chapter 15, he speaks at length about the resurrection, the arguments of the resurrection, and he defeats certain views regarding the resurrection. And in the weeks ahead, we will come to the benefits of the resurrection, and it is altogether awesome as we see what God has prepared for us. This morning's message is entitled, What Are You Talking About? What are you talking about? And it is a challenge, it is a question. And it is a message that is in the area, or in the genre, we would say, of apologetics. Not that we apologize for what we believe, but the true meaning of the word, we make an apologetic argument for what we do believe. Why are we Christians this morning? Don't shout it out loud. Don't say anything about it. Just answer it in your head. Why are you a Christian this morning? And if you say this morning, well, it's because I'm not a Buddhist, that's not an answer. Why are you a Christian? You must be able to argue for someone asking you, why are you a Christian? You've got to be able to tell them why. You cannot become a Christian because your parents were Christians. You cannot be a Christian because you were born in America. You cannot be a Christian because you were confirmed, baptized, sprinkled, dipped, dunked. You have got to understand that being a Christian is really only because you have been personally persuaded, convinced regarding the doctrines of Christianity. There's just a few of them, mind you, but they are altogether mighty in that they separate, as it were, the wheat from the chaff. They separate the sheep from the goats, as Jesus puts it. Now, you and I, as believers, when we talk about our Christian doctrine, the world out there does not understand what we're speaking about. They don't get it. They will maybe more often say, what are you talking about? And today, maybe more than ever, that applies. This morning, allow me to just think this way, that the majority of us in here are Christians, meaning that we are followers, believers, adherents of what Jesus and the Bible says from Genesis to Revelation, and we've experienced a conversion. Conversion. We would say, have you been converted? What do we mean by that? What are you saying when we say as believers, I've been converted, or come to Jesus, be saved, be born again, be converted? What are you saying? What do you mean when you say such a thing? Most basically, the word conversion means to be changed. You go from one to the other. Converted, conversion. Example, biblical example, is John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, that is, as many as opened up their hearts to receive the doctrine of Christ, who and what he is, to them he gave the right. The word is translated also power to become children of God. Listen to this, and listen to the mechanics of it. To those who believe, rest, have faith, they've settled into the authority that's in his name, who were born not of blood. You see, it can't be by royal or blue blood. No, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Strong statement. The conversion experience is a supernatural relationship encounter with God, and it manifests itself through natural creatures, you and I. And the crowning event of our absolute conversion, listen to this, is the very doctrine of what we've been studying, is the resurrection. The Corinthian believers were mixed. Some of them had believed in the resurrection and had been argued away from it. Some in the Corinthian church said or declared that there was no resurrection because the Greek culture taught that if we were to die, or when we would die, we would leave this body to the earth. We would never encounter this body again, because the Greeks believed that everything, we're going to almost say amen to this, I guess. The Greeks believed everything that's of trouble is rooted to the flesh. So we'll let the body die, leaving it alone, and we will live forever with our God or gods in this Greek mythological multi-god world, and the flesh will have no connection with us. We will leave it behind. And I understand where they're coming from, and you might say this morning, you know, amen to that. Let this old carcass stay on the earth. It does nothing but give me trouble. And I understand that if that were the end of the story. But everyone, do I have your attention? Everybody, listen, Christians do not believe in reincarnation. That is a pagan doctrine. Christianity does not teach nor embrace reincarnation. Christianity teaches resurrection. The Bible teaches that this body, Old to New Testament, this body that you and I have right now will someday die. It will be reduced back to the elements of whence it came, the elements of the earth, basically 14 elements of earth's existence. We're made up of about 14 different elements, and when we die, we go back to those things. Dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Dust. I know it. You want to be uplifted on a Sunday morning and built up. Listen, we're nothing but a bunch of well-organized dirt clods. And when we die, we return back to the earth, but it doesn't say forever. The Bible says only temporarily do our bodies go back to the earth, because there's a day coming called the resurrection. And the day of resurrection, by the way, comes for the believer and the non-believer. Did you know that? All human beings will be resurrected, the Bible teaches. But listen, resurrection will happen, and amazingly, if today the rapture was to take place, if today the Lord was to return, and the trumpet blast is blown, the Bible says what? Remember, and we'll cover it today a little bit, the dead in Christ will rise first. Remember that? You say, well, what is that? Every believer that you know who, in the moment that they die, who they are goes immediately into the presence of the Lord. Amen. See, you and I, we need to break the way that we think. We think who they are is what we see. That's not who we are. Who we are is what comes out of us. We only use this biological machine to relate to one another in this world. Inside of us is the part that lives forever. And the moment that we die, we go to be with the Lord in an instant, but the body's here. But the Bible says when the rapture takes place, the bodies of those who have died will be lifted up out of the grave, or lifted up out of this world. See, what if my husband died believing in Jesus and he was cremated? Cremation does in 30 minutes what the grave does in 30 years. Same thing. Well, my uncle got eaten by a shark. What's going to become of? He's still dust. He may be wet dust floating around somewhere at the bottom of the ocean, are part of a shark, but in God's genius chemistry and biology, God is going to call forth every element of who you are. Don't ask me later, well, what if I have someone else's kidney and I had a liver transplant or something? Don't do that to me. I don't know. Does the other guy get his liver back? And I look, man, God's gonna work it out in the end. I like the way Dr. Heinzen puts it. He says, you know, especially out here in LA area, when the rapture takes place, there's so many people that have false body parts that when the rapture takes, there'll be more left behind than that which is taken. Who's that? That's Bob. I heard a trumpet, and then there's a blob sitting down right here, you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12, we pick it up where we left off. Paul says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. His next argument commences, verse 15. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have died or fallen asleep, it's the reference to, the Greek word means the appearance of their physical body. They've died in Christ, have perished. Hopelessness. For in this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men the most pitiable. Wow. Third argument, verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit, circle that, of those who have died, fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Wow. You guys, now look, I've been in this all week. I'm excited. Granted, I'm dyed, stained. I've been immersed in this. I love Paul's delivery of this. He walks in, as it were, to the courtroom. He even uses legal words of the day. He walks into the courtroom of debate. He shows up, as it were, on the streets or on the campus of USC. Imagine that. And he says, gather around, let's talk, students. And there's a bit of brilliant sarcasm in Paul's argument. You're going to see this, and it's brilliant. It was a way of arguing for a fact, for an issue or a case in the first century era or 2,000 years ago in Paul's time. This is how you present something that is absolute fact. So this morning, you may not believe in the resurrection. You may not believe in Jesus Christ or the Bible or God or eternity or heaven or hell or what the Bible has to say. You may not believe, but listen up, everybody. You have got to be able to do better than that by just saying, I don't believe. You can't get away with just saying that. If you say today you believe or you don't believe, you got to argue why you believe or why you don't believe. We cannot be passive in what we claim. In anything for that matter. And Paul, in his beautiful Jewishness, have you ever seen Jews talk? Have you ever seen Israelis talk? I love it. I go there at least once a year, and if I'm not there, then they're visiting here, and I love it. I think because I'm Portuguese, I can't talk without my hands. If you want to shut me up, then just cuff my hands. I can't talk without my hands moving. But when you get a Jewish guy talking about what he knows and what he believes, you can totally disagree, but they are so persuasive that you begin to think, you know what? I don't believe a word in what he's saying, but I'm just going to keep listening to him say it because this is exciting stuff. There's nothing I told you before that when you see two of them talking, it looks like they're going to beat each other up on the street. And then you talk to your friend. Are you guys okay, man? What's wrong? Nothing's wrong. He was just inviting me for dinner tonight. Look like they're going to kill each other. It's beautiful. It's really exciting stuff. Mark this down as we get into our study. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. At the time of death, I mentioned it a moment ago. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. We're talking resurrection. And what are we talking about when we say resurrection? The Bible says, so we are always confident. Only the believer. Knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We're talking resurrection. At the moment of the rapture, I alluded to it a moment ago. Here's the verse, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed, brethren, concerning those who have died, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, resurrection. Even so, God will bring with him those who've died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, those living at the moment of Christ's atmospheric appearance in the air, will by no means precede those who have died. We will not go up before them. They get to go up first. Verse 16, for the Lord himself, thank you, Jesus, will descend from heaven with the shout. He's going to shout. With the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then, and the word implies in an instant, not 25 years later, boom, what was that? And then up you go. The scripture says, then we who are alive and remain shall be harpazo, violently snatched from the earth. The word means violently, quickly pulled away, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And all God's people said, amen. That is awesome. If that happened today, know this. Those who have died in Jesus would come out of the ground nanoseconds before you and I would be translated into the presence of the atmosphere with the Lord and them. That is awesome. I'm living for that, by the way. At the moment of the rapture, 1 Corinthians 15. Are you taking notes? This is all introduction. You need this. At the moment of the rapture, 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We can't get there in this molecular structure. We've got to be changed. Resurrection, keep looking at the screens. Resurrection takes your body and reconfigures its molecular structure. It's you being resurrected, but in a new, can I say this? A little bit of damage to the actuality of it, but imagine arranging the numbers differently and it changes the number layout or the paint job or the chemical structure or the sequence. It's the same, but it's changed. Just like the caterpillar that goes up your wall and goes in that chrysalis, it's the same thing. Reconstructed and he flies away. Flesh and blood, as you and I are, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die, but we shall be changed. It's a great verse for the nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Anyway, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, there's two trumpets. There's the trumpet that draws Israel together, and then the second trumpet, which is the last trumpet, it draws the church together. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be metamorpho. We shall be changed. How exciting is this? Listen, we cannot avoid the argument presented to us regarding the resurrection. You must either deny the resurrection, disprove the resurrection, or reject the resurrection. But you cannot avoid it. I want to read you this quote. And by the way, just because somebody might say this morning, I agree with that quote, doesn't help you. Quote, I don't believe in the Bible, so to me, I mean, Jesus Christ wasn't or isn't an actual person, close quote. You think that gets you off the hook? Let me read that to you again. I don't believe in the Bible, so to me, I mean, Jesus Christ wasn't or isn't an actual person. If you today say, I don't believe in Jesus or the Bible or resurrection or eternal life or heaven or hell because of any one of those things, I choose not to. But I do not believe, for example, somebody say, I don't believe in the Bible, and so I don't believe in Jesus. Do you think you're off the hook? Really?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a look at the part of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where Paul not only defends the resurrection, but gives the reasons why the resurrection must be accepted as absolute fact by the believer, despite how far-fetched it may be to the unbeliever. The title of this series, quite simply, What Are You Talking About? It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse and chapter-by-chapter journey through 1 Corinthians, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, on Fridays, I get to walk right down the hallway and drag Pastor Jack into the studio here for another Ask Pastor Jack segment. All right, Pastor Jack. This one comes from Shirley. She says, Dear Pastor Jack, we just celebrated 25 years of marriage. Congratulations, by the way. She goes on to say, Neither one of us was a Christian when we wed. I accepted Christ as my Savior years ago, but my husband has not. I love him. I know I'm not going to leave him. Can you elaborate on my role in our marriage? God's blessing, Shirley.
Shirley, that's awesome. And you are a representative. Your story, your life's theater is being played out across America and, for that matter, around the world in many homes. And so the great thing is the answer is still the same. And I want to encourage you to invest in a Bible study, which, by the way, we did cover in our 1 Corinthians teaching. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and chapter 7, and you look on over to 1 and 2 Peter, you will find out that the Lord has positioned you, Shirley, to be the evangelist, to be the example, the witness to your husband, that he's your first mission field. He is your focal point of ministry. And so what you want to do, Shirley, is live a life by the power of the Holy Spirit, of course, that is such an example, that is such a witness to your husband, that by your conduct, Shirley, by your lifestyle, living for Jesus and loving on Jesus, your husband will see a continued example, testimony, and quite frankly, an undeniable reason why he should come to Christ as well. Listen, I want you to look at your husband from this moment on as your missions project. And I'm glad that you guys have a great relationship. And that, in fact, I think strengthens God's call upon your life, Shirley, to love on him and to be such a godly example. You know, Shirley, I want to encourage you, God's energies and God's word is never wasted. And the Lord knew from time and eternity that you would be his wife, and that you would have, at this point in time anyway, an unbelieving husband. And so I think that by your conduct, God is going to honor, and I think you can be hopeful about it, that as you pray for him, the Lord is going to honor your witness. And I wouldn't be surprised at all that your husband in due time, God's timing, will make a decision for Jesus. It could be on his deathbed, surely, but listen, what do we care, honestly, if we spend our lives living a godly example? I would to God that everyone that we know would come to Christ, even if it's on their deathbed. It's eternity that we're focused on. And so I want to encourage you, keep up the good work and never compromise your walk with Jesus. Your husband will respect that, and by the grace of God, eventually make a decision for Christ.
And let's hope and pray that that happens. Ask Pastor Jack. Send your question to Ask Pastor Jack at realradioactive.org. Ask Pastor Jack at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.